Earl will be back to persecute you next week, so you can look forward to that. And remember him. I don't think he's broke anything this week, he didn't say. He was deer hunting, the bow and arrow. So. Not really hunting, he's just sitting in a stand up in the trees, hoping one comes by. And, well, maybe one did for him. I had Jay place a sign-up sheet in the foyer bulletin board there of events, and my wife and I would like to come and visit. So you just encourage you and minister to you, thank the Lord for you, read some scripture, pray with you, and so on. So if you wish to sign up there, that can be done. We won't come by for long, maybe 45 minutes, an hour. And see how it works. So if you wish to sign up, the first sign up, though, is for next Friday. So it's kind of close. About if a person or two, family or two, wish to do that and have me stop by, my wife, we can do that. And then in another week, there's a sign up if you want to wait a while, do it later. And then if you wish to go calling with me, some information on the church and evangelism type calls, there's a Saturday in December for that. So you can look it over, you can pray about it, sign up if you wish. If you don't wish to, that's fine. I don't worry much about who doesn't sign up. I'm just glad if anyone wishes to and would like a visit. So that's kind of what it just comes down to. Well, if you have your Bible there with you this morning, we'll encourage you to look at the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. We're just thinking about the little words, little phrases that are brought out there in verse 12, Ephesians 3 and verse 12. Speaking about Christ, in whom, in Christ, we have. We'll talk about these wonderful things we have. Which are many others, other places in the scriptures brought out. But here he says, we have boldness, and we've talked about that. We have access, which we're going to think about a little bit here this morning hour in our brief time together and just rejoicing in the Lord. When I was in college, the cheerleading team came up with a cheer, which was S-U-C-C-E-S-S. That is how you spell success. No, I don't know how it had anything to do with playing basketball. I don't remember that. There was any tie-in. But that was, they had fun doing it anyway, having that cheer. So I was thinking, A-C-C-E-S-S. That is how you spell, how do I get in? Or I can get in by way of the good hand of the Lord. There's a dictionary, favorite tool of mine, says access is the means of approaching and entering a place. The means, the way and the ability and the encouragement, the word access as you see it. Of course, in our day and age, it's often we're thinking with regard to our maybe phone or the computer, how do I access it? How do I get in it? But the means of approaching or entering a place. And the illustration, you know, that door is the one and only way to get in, the only access to the building. So we think of the term of how it is used. I like what the Cambridge Dictionary gave the definition, that it's the method or possibility of getting near to a place or a person. An access to get near or close to a person. My wife and I, when we go shopping, it's usually to yard sales. It's our shopping day. And sometime this summer, one of them picked up a book, Chesapeake Reflections. I like the Chesapeake. And the lady almost didn't, well, she had it out for sale, she almost didn't want to sell it. That's why she had it for sale. She didn't decide to sell it yet. But finally, I've read it twice, she said, so I guess I'll let it go. It's about a man, his wife, sailing the Chesapeake and going up the rivers off the Chesapeake, which there are many. Some of them are just streams, but their boat they had, and they would get out and explore a little bit. But this little idea here is with regard, as you think of the word access, and he noticed how many places had signs up, no access, no trespassing, don't come here type of thing. And he says, we walked our bikes off the pier. I saw one large sign, no trespassing, on the tree in the backyard. Well, we weren't in the backyard. We were in the front yard, so we tied up our boat there. And on the wall of a storage shed near the pier, there was another sign, no trespassing, situated where no one could miss it. But they stayed there anyway. He says, many of the trees, as we rode our bicycles along the stream, said, no trespassing. Time and time again, many houses had signs on them, no trespassing. This is what is called the Little Chop Tank River, is what they were going up and exploring at this time. No entrance was repeatedly brought out to them. Then I'm going to hear a little bit further. They went, they found, they come across a marker informed them of a building called the Tubman Chapel, built in 1769. Served as a church until 1872, and then they'd moved to a larger building across the way. There was no trespassing sign anywhere in sight in front of the old church. Well, that's always nice, you know. You don't want to have a church building and have a sign out front that says, no trespassing, don't enter, you know, no access, you can't come in. So anyway, it gives a little bit about with regard to the church and so on. And I got to find my way down here just a little bit more as they continue to ride their bikes and travel. Oh, here's what I wanted to get to. As we rode along what is called Smithville Road, we came across another sign, no trespassing. They were so numerous along the Smithville Road that some owners had changed the message in the apparent hope that someone would read the signs and consequently heed the message. For example, one was posted, no poaching, no trespassing. The next one said, no hunting. This applies to you, friends, relatives, enemies, and you. Survivors will be prosecuted. And then apparently some people were thinking maybe I didn't read the signs, they weren't strong enough or something. One owner put up a sign, now entering Smithville Heights. Population 2. Charlie Willie is the mayor. A tree in this yard bore a second sign, just in case you missed the first one. No trespassing. Well, I don't know, not a friendly place, or just somehow wanted their own peace, I guess. But anyway, our English word access comes to us really in just three verses in the Bible, and we'll look at them. We've read one already this morning. If you would find the book of Romans, please, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is a location where we'll start at. And while there's many wonderful things brought out in this verse, I'm just going to read Romans 5, 1 and 2, where Paul was summing up things he had taught before this. He says, therefore, Romans 5 and verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have, what do we got? Access. Access by faith in his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access by faith into his grace. That's a wonderful and delightful verse and thought. Quite encouraging to us, access into the presence of God, and very humbling at the same time. That we have so much in Christ, and here we're reminded that through him alone, we have this joy of access by faith right into the presence of God, access by faith based upon the fact justified by the Lord. You know, access is kind of a technical term a little bit when it's brought up. The idea of it was the right to approach the judge at court, given access to approach, come to the judge in a court setting. And it's kind of the idea of coming before someone important, coming before royalty. We know in the scriptures, we're talking about coming before him who is royalty above royalty, coming into the presence of God, having that access, given the right to do that. So we have been given what is called the entree. You can enter in. And we have been those that have been prepared to enter. We have been prepared by the fact we've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you've been prepared to enter, prepared by faith in Christ, have believed on the Lord Jesus, that gives the right of entrance, the access to come into his presence by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Marvelous to go right into the very presence of God himself. One of our hymns in your hymn book, 203, in fact. And Can It Be? Sometimes a little challenging song to sing. But there in the fourth stanza, it says, bold I approach the eternal throne. I just come right into the presence, the throne room of God. And there, as Hebrews mentions in 4 and verse 16, have that delight of being in his presence. All right, that's just a wee bit in Romans 5. Now if you would take your attention over to the second verse that talks about access in our English Bible, you'll find it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. So back to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. And here's what we have in our reading here, where we're talking about access, where there are no trespassing signs from the hand of the Lord that are brought out here for us. So chapter 2, verse 18, he says, for through him, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, have, what do we got? Access. Those that are redeemed have access. And it's by one Spirit to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who ushers us in, says, come in, brings us in to the presence of God, he who is living in us. So through Jesus Christ, redeemed Jews and Gentiles have access through the Spirit unto the Father. Powerfully presented for us. That it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is the one who has opened the door, made the access, presented the way, and the Spirit of God ushers us into the presence of God. We take it a little bit too lightly, a little bit for granted, you know, into the very presence of God. Pretty amazing, you think about it. Who we are. We know who we are. We know our lives. We know our persons. And then we have to realize someone took our place. He who came from the presence of God, that he might bring us into the presence of God. And the price that was paid, that we might stand before Almighty God. Come into his presence any time of day, night, any situation, to be in the presence of God. A marvelous, marvelous, powerful thing that through Christ alone we have this. And it was done, of course, through the shedding of his blood while you're there in Ephesians chapter 2. And you look back up to verse 13, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, have been brought near. What brought us near? By the blood of Christ. far away. Maybe we didn't have thoughts of God, nothing to do with God, but we're far away. But also talking with regard to Gentiles far away from the Lord, because who were not a people were made a people. But it was done by way of the blood of Christ. And notice verse 14, Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. Who has made both, that's Jews and Gentiles, made both one, broken down the middle wall of separation. And how did he do this? Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, Christ in the body, in his flesh, the enmity. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself a new man from the two, from Jews and Gentiles, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came, preached to those who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus Christ alone paid the price. I don't have a price to pay. I have the access. I enter because Christ has made the way, the door open, so sinners could enter in the presence of God and there be have that access purchased by God. And it's by means of, what's the channel? Christ opened the door. Now how do I enter in? By way of the Spirit of God. Verse 18 we're reading, who is indeed in us. Takes us to chapter 3 and verse 12. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. And here's our verse we've been thinking on for a few weeks together. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence, right into the presence indeed of Almighty God, accomplished by way of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and by none other than him. The word access can be taken actually in two different ways. It is used in a couple of different ways in the scriptures. One way the word access is used, it means someone, as it were, takes you by the arm and brings you into the presence of God. Like, you don't have that authority, that right to go, and so Christ has come and taken our place, and he takes us into the presence of God. The other is the idea you don't need anyone to take you in, you just enter in, you just have access. You just go into his presence. A couple quick illustrations on it this morning hour. This access is a freedom to approach the Father in confidence. So, and taken in those two different ways, let's just think on them a little bit here. So, in your Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. And we're going to direct our attention down to verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Now here we have this passage where Christ is teaching how as believers we are to work together, minister to one another, try to help one another. We are to be those that forgive one another in all that is brought before us. So Matthew 18, I said 18 and I went to chapter 20. Give me a moment. Chapter 18 of Matthew down at verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Christ and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And of course, up to seven times, which sounded like a lot, might sound like a lot to us. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I remember the time I first read that and saw that in the scriptures, and it's kind of one of those jaw-dropping, open-your-mouth things, you know. What? 70 times, that is, there's no limited number. It's not saying, well, I did it that many times, and therefore it's done. No. He says, then illustration-wise, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Our phrase, our thought together is, verse 24, right there in the middle, one was brought, an individual was brought to him. That is, someone brought him in. Here's the word access. This man gets to talk to this king, as it were, because someone else brings him in. It isn't, I can go in on my own, I'm on my own, I know I'm good enough to enter in. No, someone brings him in, brings him to the presence. Someone brought him in to the king. And we have that illustration used four or five times down through the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Remember in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was in jail? Seems like half the time we talk about Peter, he's in jail. And it says there in Acts chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, that King Herod was about to bring him out, out of jail. And Peter would be brought unto the king by another. Someone would come and get Peter in the jail and would take him to the king. Of course, God had other plans with regard to it. But he brought them. Someone brought him. And you have the similar also in Acts 16. But I direct your attention over to 1 Peter chapter 3. See the use of it here. 1 Peter chapter 3, please, in verse 18. 1 Peter 3 and 18 in your Bible reads as follows. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust. Why did he do that? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. See the phrase in the verse? That he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. Christ died on the cross so he might get a hold of us and bring us to God. Remember the day when you came to God? You'd heard about God, read about God, maybe heard things of God, taught, preached, but the day when you were brought to God. We could use the illustration in numerous ways of you and I bringing someone to a place where they would hear the gospel. You would be the tool, the instrument. You would be that person who would bring someone to hear the message of the gospel. Or you would be the one that presents the gospel when someone else brings them to hear it. And either way, you have a part with regard to it. So into the presence of God by Jesus, be given access. And because of the cross of Calvary, sinners are given access to come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have in John in chapter 6. But the price is paid. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, and we hear it, we read it, and it works in our hearts and lives and brings us to faith in Christ. He brings us to God. And then as we are brought to God, our heart's desire is always to do that which is right and godly and righteous. Yes, we slip up when we mess up, but to God in His great grace, we have the access into His presence to have that sin cared for and dealt with in His very presence. Marvelous, marvelous truth. Sometimes we only think about I get into God's presence to pray. Sometimes all we think about with regard to access, that there's more to it, more presented here for us to think upon as we look at the portion of Scripture. Well, we're kind of put it together in a little package before we go out the door to praise the Lord and rejoice in Him. And three quick things we have right at the end of this word access. Remember, keep in your mind what access means, what the word means, and what is presented before us has been this day. But first off, access, yes, the right to get into God's presence and pray, but there's more to it than that. It's the condition of us, we who have been redeemed, bought with the price of the blood of Christ. The fact that we do belong to Christ, and daily we give our lives over to Christ. Lord, what will you have me to do? Trusting Him as we pray that He in His time, when God will get the most glory out of the prayers that we pray, He will answer them. We have that confidence when we enter into His presence and we pray for His working to be done in prayer. And the second little item we think about is that prayer is just a natural result of being redeemed. Saved people, they want to pray. Just like saved people, they want to be together with other believers to worship God. We set everything else aside. We say this is the most important event situation we have, to meet with other believers and worship God. Worship Him by way of reading the Scriptures and finding out what He has done, who He is, and how we are to live with regard to Him in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. So prayer being a natural result of us who are redeemed, it brings about this going into God's presence, this access. Saved people want to pray. They want to be in God's presence. And then also this idea of access puts Jews and Gentiles together on equal terms through the Son of God at the throne. Everyone at the throne of God is the same, equal. We sometimes say that with regard to the cross of Calvary, that at the cross, the ground at the cross is the same for all. That is, it isn't that there's different ways of coming to the cross and to Christ, and we're all but sinners. And so in access in prayer, Jews and Gentiles are on the same plane, equal terms, before the Lord of glory and His presence. So we have access. It's a beautiful thought and a beautiful truth and a beautiful reality that is indeed what we have today. Because of the eternalness of Christ, because of Christ's life in the flesh on this earth, because of His death, because of His resurrection. Through all that, the Spirit of God takes that truth and it holds us, it gets a hold of us, keeps us from losing heart, keeps us from quitting and giving up, and in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. There are no signs at the throne of grace, closed today, or no entrance today, or no trespassing, there are no signs there. It is always the open door, the cross, at the throne of grace, to come, approach, enter, enjoy, stay a while. Don't lose heart in the midst of a crooked world in which we live, but have the heart encouraged by way of a prayer time. This past Wednesday night at Faith Baptist Church, my wife and I are members and attend, And the pastor's been going through the Gospel of Mark, and Wednesday night was a few things on prayer of how Christ challenged his disciples there in Mark in chapter 11, down in verse 22. And the pastor brought out this challenge for his disciples. We're disciples. You've been born again. You're a disciple of Christ, one that believes the things of Christ, teaches the things of Christ, lives the things of Christ. And so the challenge was for the disciples was simply this in verse 22, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Believe what God says. Believe it. And then they went down through it from there with regard to believe what God says, that this brings about faith that is expressed by praying for impossible situations. You ever say, well, that's an impossible situation to pray for. How can I pray for that? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to bring it before the Lord. Well, with faith in God, verse 22, faith is to be that which expresses. It sets forth. By faith we pray in the presence of God. We've had access there, praying for whatever the impossible situation is. Sometimes I think of our government and all the babies the men and women babies in D.C., you know, and I thought, talk about an impossible situation to pray about, pray for. I used to have a good friend in Maine who would say, I ought to drop a bomb on Washington, D.C. and get rid of the whole nest. But then she would say, yeah, but half of them are never there anyway, so you wouldn't get them all. A faith is expressed by praying for impossible situations. We just trust God. Leave it out there before him. Faith in God does not doubt what God can do. We don't doubt it. We depend upon him. And faith in God is expressed by praying for unusual situations, unusual matters. And there were some unusual matters going on there at that time in Christ when he was upon this earth. There are always unusual things that come by, and we keep them up in prayer. We pray God's will be done, his way for his glory. But God always wants it brought about, so there's a peace in the life and peace in the family and peace with regard to the whole church ministry. So don't lose heart. You have access by prayer for whatever that matter is that's before you. God in his time will answer when he gets the most glory with regard to the matter. Think of that with regard to your searching and praying and looking for a shepherd. Have access to the throne of God. Pray boldly there with regard to his will to be done and that which he would have to carry on. And always know there's never a no trespassing sign in the presence of God. Our Father, apply your word as need be to each one of our hearts. Help us not just to listen, but help us to do what we know should be done with your word. So, Father, as we put it into use and in our hearts and lives, might you find us as being those that indeed not only say they love the word of God, but show that love by our actions and activities and obedience and the doing of it. Thank you for the throne of grace and that we have access into the very presence of the greatest majesty there ever could be. And we thank you for that today and pray you'll use the prayer through the folks here to minister in a variety of situations that were mentioned already here at church today. We thank you that in every unusual and difficult and what appears to be an impossible situation, You are able to do exceedingly abundantly for your glory. We praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.